Thanks for downloading another Newsmakers podcast. Today we're talking to Howard Weiss of HVAC Excellence. We had a fun discussion about the recent instructors workshop, issues facing the HVAC industry, and how to answer the industry critics. We'll see you on the other side. Okay, we're going to bring in Howard Weiss, the marketing director of HVAC Excellence, to talk a little bit with us today. How are you doing today, Howard?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Kyle?
Real good, real good. Why don't you start off by telling our listeners exactly what HVAC Excellence does and what they're all about?
HVAC Excellence is a not-for-profit organization that's about improving the quality of education in our industry. We work with the community and technical colleges to verify we have quality programs through accreditation. We've developed a series of programs to validate we have a quality instructor through educator credentialing. And we verify students have learned the competencies taught through their instructor through student assessments. It's all part of just creating a career path for students to make sure we're creating a quality workforce.
Okay, great. I was able to get out to your instructor's workshop in Vegas recently, which was a lot of fun. Can you let the listeners know what you accomplished out there for your organization, if it went well for you?
You know what, it was a great conference. It was a sellout, but it's really not about us. The conference is really about improving the quality of the educators and providing them the resources they want. One of the things that we kind of noticed why we created it, most developed countries have stringent training, apprenticeship, continuing education requirements for working in the HVAC industry, such as England, Germany, where it's viewed as a profession, not a trade. HVAC excellence programs, such as this conference, are basically designed to provide the train-the-trainer methodologies to make sure we have a better workforce coming out. So, long story, it's really about the educators. It's making sure that we're giving them the right resources and tools to improve themselves and their programs.
Okay, great. What do you think is the biggest issue or issues facing those HVAC instructors today?
There's a lot of them. But I'd say if I had to nail it down to one single one, it's really it's about the amount of information you have to teach in a short period of time. With a limited time, teachers need to make certain that their students have mastered fundamentals of electricity, principles and physics of refrigeration. In doing so, they're giving their students a foundation to grow within the industry no matter which area they go. The problem is that if you call most of the schools, California is a great example. A lot of the schools there, their funding was cut by 50%. Their hours are cut by 50%. The instructors, all they can really do is do their best to acquaint the students with the technologies, but they really don't have the time that they really need to properly train the people. Going back to the European model, in a perfect world, everyone would go to school for several years, go through an apprenticeship program, go through continuing education. We're trying to, in the United States, teach someone everything in typically 10 months or less.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You just can't do it. I mean, sure. Look, Kyle, it's a kind of a joke I always tell with people who know me. I've always found it funny. If I wanted to open Howard or Kyle's barbershop, we'd have to go to school for 800 hours, be an apprentice for 1,400 hours, and pass a performance-based test. And if I mess up, your hair, it'll grow back.
Right.
We're trying to teach people multiple trades, really, within heating and air conditioning, 6-7 trades, typically. And we're trying to do it in under a year. And in many cases, one of the problems out there is people aren't even taking the time to go to the schools that we have. So you're putting someone out there. It's not important to, I can put carbon monoxide in your house. I could set your house on fire. There's a million ways I can find ways with our equipment to harm the occupant of the building. And we're not concerned about that, but we're concerned about if I give you a bad haircut. So right. We have stricter licensing of other industries, is my point, than we do of heating and air conditioning. And long term, I would say that one of the biggest problems that the HVAC instructors have is not enough time and not enough resources at their disposal. One thing that contractors out there can do, schools are required to have a advisory meeting twice a year. It's usually an hour and a half to 2 hours. If people would take time, go visit the local school, introduce themselves, find out when the advisory meeting is, they can actually participate in the process, find out what the school's doing, what it's not doing, interview some of the students. And then a lot of times they can help with donations to help make those better programs. Sometimes the equipment they're taking out of a facility is better than what some of the schools have access to right now.
I was going to ask you how to change the culture, but I assume it's the entire industry be it contractors, like you said, giving their time, manufacturers donating, you know, product and items for them to work on.
Culture. Yeah. It's everyone needs to be involved. I hate to say it. We all need to be recruiting 24/7, meaning that all of us need to be out there talking about the attributes of why the industry is a great industry. Why should I come into it? How can I support it? You know, it's real easy for someone to say the school down the street isn't doing what it's supposed to. But if you've never been there to find out what they're actually doing, to realize that they're putting out quality entry-level graduates, but they're... See, here's the problem. I go ahead and I spend a year training you in all the fundamentals. If I work on the commercial side, most people are going to put me in an apprenticeship program and continue my education. A lot of residential contractors are not pushing. It's the problem of who should pay for my continuing education, me or my employer. Well, it's a double-edged sword. The problem is I realize that if you don't train the person, a lot of people say if I train them, they may leave. Well, if you don't train them, they may stay. And if you spent a lot of years building your company, you don't want to besmirch your reputation by putting unqualified people out there who can harm your company shortly. So I think training, recruitment, getting involved, biggest thing I could tell people is if they have an opportunity, find the local trade school in their area, call up the teacher and say, how can we help? Can we come find out about your program? When's your next advisory committee? It's about an hour and a half of time invested twice a year and usually get a lunch out of it.
Yeah, you might get a few good employees down the road too.
Exactly.
It kind of leads me to my next question. You talked a little bit about the kids that are in the school and how to help them. How about getting the younger generation more interested and in the HVAC field and getting them into those schools? We all know the high schools aren't promoting it as much as they should. What should the industry be doing?
You know, in order to make the occupation more attractive, obviously we need higher salaries, benefit programs, participation with internships. Employers need to pay what someone's really worth, not try them out at minimum wage. I guess my point is that when I go into a school and someone says, Howard, you're going to spend 10 months here, and when you get out, we're going to pay you $8.50 to $10 an hour. You're going to have to work in a hot attic that's 200 degrees, and we're not going to give you any benefits. Where's the incentive for me to do that when I can stay inside of McDonald's? We have to change the culture of our industry. There's some things going on in Washington right now, something called the Gainful Employment Act. The Gainful Employment Act is a piece of legislation that basically states students, when they graduate, their student loan payments could be no more than 8% of their annual income. That basically gives you one of two things are going to happen. Either the programs won't exist or people are going to have to pay higher wages. If I could go into welding and I could start at $15 or $20 an hour, I could go in other related trades and start in that $20 an hour range. Every time you walk into a school and you go into placement office and you take a look and see heating and air conditioning, starting salary, $8.75, $9 an hour. It's very difficult. So I think what we need to do is, obviously it's hard to tell people to pay more money, but long term, that's something we're all going to have to do. We're going to have to make it more attractive. We also have to make it more of a profession, less of a trade, going back to the European model. But I think the Gainful Employment Act will help in that part.
Okay. I think another thing we can be saying is these jobs aren't going overseas. We're going to need people in these houses installing these air conditioning units.
Here, on a little side note, that's very true. I always try and preach something to people. 67% of all jobs in the United States require post-secondary technical education. 20% require a college degree or higher, four-year degree. Means 80% don't. Too often, our guidance counselors at our schools are trying to tell everyone you have to go to your local university. It's the community technical colleges in this country that are producing nearly 70% of the jobs. Those jobs, whether it be heating and air conditioning, dental hygienist, automotive technician, they're not going overseas. They can't be automated. They can't be exported. I can't call someone in China and ask them to fix my heat pump. You're not going to get your teeth, you know, cleaned by someone in India.
Right.
These are jobs that are here. Unfortunately, what's happening is in most states, we're putting 95% of our money into the four-year system. There's a formula that actually says 5% of your money could go into your community and technical colleges. So we're putting 5% of our money into 67% of the people. So it makes it a little more difficult to get people to come into our industry or other related industries when there's not even an emphasis on it in education in the United States. I find it hard to find. Most contractors are looking for good, qualified people right now, yet you don't hear guidance counselors out there trying to recruit people. Look, I'll tell you a little funny story. If we've got a few minutes on this.
Yeah, sure.
Guidance counselor down in Miami-Dade, Florida, put together a workshop, brought people in from different industries. Someone came in and talked about heating and air conditioning. When he was done, the guidance counselor said, well, that's very interesting for those of you who want a dirty and meaningless job. For those of you who have brains and want to go to college, let's find out what other types of occupations are available.
Wow.
That's the perception of your high school guidance counselor. Now, luckily, the person who went in was ready to, well-prepared. What they stated was, that's very interesting you said it. Kids, it's true. I get my hands dirty. He said, I also make about $100,000 a year. This guidance counselor made $27,500 last year. I looked it up. He says, I have a company vehicle. He does it. He went through benefits, compared everything. He says, kids, if you want to make about six figures a year, don't mind getting your hands dirty. And he talked about all the attributes again of the HVAC industry. He says, come see me after this. He says, if you want a meaningless job where you never make more than 30 grand a year, but you could tell people how to go down the wrong career path, keep listening to him. He got a standing round of ovation.
That's pretty good.
The problem is too many contractors are afraid to walk into the local school because they're afraid they're going to be told, we're not interested in what you have to say because you're not a university. And they've got to go in well prepared with numbers to talk about the occupation, the attributes, where someone can go. Not where they're going to start them, but where they're going to be 5, 10, 15 years down the road.
Sure.
And that's how I think you're going to get more people interested.
What are contractors looking for when they're hiring technicians? And at this point, are trade schools and HVAC programs delivering that?
The schools overall are. What they're really looking for, they're looking for students who have brazing, system charging, troubleshooting, fundamentals of electricity, principles of refrigeration, other basic skills. But what I'm finding a lot of contractors are looking for, and the schools are starting to look at more, is they're looking for students to be aware of the importance of soft skills. How you talk to someone. Are you willing to work? Basically, I want you here on time. I need someone who does perception meet reality. Meaning, I go ahead and my company's been in business for 100 years. Do I want to send someone out on a service call that when they pull up on your lawn, they open the door, all their lunch falls out, they've got sloppy pants on? No. What someone wants to see, they want to see they hired a professional to come to their house. They want to see someone with the soft skills that's dressed right, groomed right, can articulate to the customer exactly what's wrong, talk professional. So it's a combination that the contractors are looking for, people with the technical knowledge and the soft skills combined. Overall, the schools are doing a great job, but this is an area where contractors can help. They can participate by going in, doing mock interviews, role play with students, and make sure that they have those skills. One of the classes we had at the conference out in Las Vegas was dealing with the fact that you've got all these kids who they text message each other all day. They don't even talk to each other.
Right.
They're not sure how to communicate anymore. And it's creating a problem because you really do need people who can go up and walk to a door and say, Mrs. Smith, I'm here with ABC Mechanical. It's nice to meet you. How can I help you? And know how to properly present themselves at a door versus, you know, yo, I'm here to fix your air conditioner. It's articulating and it's technical skills. But contractors also have to understand when they do visit the schools and they have an opportunity to review the curriculum and see what they're actually being taught, education is a continual process. A press release we just sent out today that a lot of people will be seeing pertains to Gordon Holness, who is the immediate past president of ASHRAE. He did a whole presentation out in Las Vegas talking about how we're not going to grow our way out of this problem, how energy efficiency, essentially the United States, the demand is going up for energy, and so is the worldwide demand for it. There's not enough energy out there to meet the needs, and none of us want to sound like Jimmy Carter and tell the people to turn their thermostat down. Mm. What we need to do is make sure, is the equipment properly installed? Is it correctly sized? A recent study, which ties into all this, is I was just out in California. The Public Utilities Commission there says that 72% of all residential air conditioning systems are oversized. 68% are improperly charged, 70% have improper airflow. Going back to Gordon Holness, it's all about training. Training has always been important in our industry, but it's more important now today than ever before as a result of the high-tech equipment, the sealed systems, understanding the fundamentals of what's going on inside them.
Sure. Well, that's great information. I never, especially the part about the kids and the technology. We always are impressed by all that technology, but I never thought about how it affects their communication skills.
Well, and here, that's something we can use to our advantage. One of the disadvantages of the heating and air conditioning industry, automotive for years had trouble recruiting people. And as cars became more complex, we wanted higher miles per gallon, the CAFE standards, we wanted to improve the emissions. Essentially, what occurred was they wound up becoming computerized. We're now using giant scopes, and there's a lot of toys, I guess is what I'm saying, for someone. You walk in an HVAC program, there's a lot of toys. People, when they're 18 years old and they're walking through a trade school trying to figure out what they want to do, they're looking for gadgets sometimes, and unfortunately, that may sound silly, but here, there's a program we did out in Vegas on smart system technology, which involves using iPads, smartphones to remotely diagnose heating and air conditioning equipment. Mm-hmm. This type of technology is something that can make our industry more glitzy, making it easier to attract more people to it. But funny little story about that is the instructor, one of the instructors out there asked, how many of you here own a smartphone? And three people raised their hand out of about 100. How many of you own an iPad? And no one raised their hand. So how are we expecting to teach these kids this technology unless we ourselves embrace it as instructors? So
true.
A big part of it is practice what you preach. But those type of things will make it easier for people to be recruited into our industry.
Absolutely. Well, that's great information, Howard. Really appreciate you taking the time. You guys do good work over there at HVAC Excellence, and I can, as being out there in Vegas, I can tell you they start early and they end late, and they everywhere in between there's a lot of information. So there's a lot of good stuff going on out there.
We joke it's like going to boot camp. You know, a lot of people are out there at 6 in the morning. They're still taking tests at 10 o'clock at night. But it's really, it's showing it. This isn't about us. It's not about you. It's about the students. These teachers don't come out and spend 15 hours a day going through class after class after class for themselves. They're really doing it to try and put out better students. And it's just a true testament to their dedication towards trying to improve the quality of education and towards the success of their students.
Yeah, it was very, very inspiring. All right, Howard, we'll let you get back to work, but thanks a lot for taking a few minutes with us today.
I really appreciate you calling, and I appreciate your taking the time to come out to the conference.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Great stuff, Howard. Thanks for the interview, and thanks to everyone for the download. Check us out on iTunes or echrnews.com. Good times, everybody.